You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is season three. It's episode 72, the Cubs combined no-hitter. Feel free to leave Crawley and I a five-star review. You can also email us at flythew670@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can watch us, that's right, on the 670 The Score YouTube page. See all the stats and info and tweets that we'd like to put up there. In this segment, Crawley talks to Jake Bunjowski, host of the Dingers Baseball Podcast, to talk about his special relationship with Kerry Wood as Kid K enters the Cubs Hall of Fame officially this Sunday.
Join me now on the Fly the W podcast. I am glad to have on our good friend Jake Bunjowski. You know him from the Dingers Baseball Podcast. Jake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Crawley, man. I appreciate you having me on. It's good to talk some Cubs baseball and talk about Kerry being inducted into the Cubs Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it is just, you know, I remember when all of a sudden they started kind of playing the scenes at Cubs convention and all of a sudden all the memories. And you know, the reason obviously that, you know, it is so special for you is that your dad and Kerry had a relationship in a way that people may not realize it. Tell us a little bit about how your dad kind of, when you first started to hear about Kerry Wood and your dad's connection to Kerry Wood.
Yeah, man. Kerry has been kind of this interesting, like, baseline in my life, which is strange in the sense that I'm getting ahead of myself. So my dad was the 20K guy. So he had the red and blue broken bat K signs that now, in an incredible turn of events, are synonymous with Kerry's best game ever pitched. I mean, By all accounts, it's the greatest game ever pitched. Despite it not being a no-hitter, it should have been, as my dad would be arguing if he were on right now. Should have been a no-hitter. But yeah, from then, you know, so I was 4 years old, 4.5 years old when it happened. But from that point on, my dad just kept bringing the K's out. And he, you know, he sent some letters to Kerry through Kerry's agent, basically trying to figure out, like, hey, how can we make this K thing a bigger deal? Can we loop in charity somehow? And unfortunately, before my dad passed, nothing ever happened. But for my entire life, Kerry Wood was kind of like a weird kind of throughway. So yeah, I mean, my dad was just a baseball fanatic, as you know, and kind of a prospect nerd before prospect nerds were like a mainstream thing to be, right? So he was all over Kerry. You know, as soon as Kerry was drafted, he was following him through the pipeline and saw that this guy was going to be a stud. And, you know, it's one of those things where had injuries not come into play, I think Kerry would have been a Hall of Famer, right? I think the stuff that he had, the dominance that he asserted on the mound, but hey, nonetheless, he influenced a lot of Cubs fans, including myself, to be bigger Cubs fans and baseball fans. And now he's being inducted to the Cubs Hall of Fame, which I think is fantastic. I think it's very well deserved.
And the thing I kind of think about is that people don't understand what Wrigley was like in 1998. You know, I feel like Steve Stone now for all you youngsters out there. But like, you know, whenever a prospect comes up, they literally have the jerseys printed in the stores at the Cubs store, yep, on Gallagher Way, and you can buy, you know, PCA's jersey for the debut game and all this stuff. It wasn't like that then. It was a completely different ballpark, a completely different atmosphere. And a lot of it was kind of that do-it-yourself mentality. Guys pressing shirts and selling them on the streets. I mean, every street corner kind of had a vendor or something. And so, you know, when I think about, you know, you talk about the symbol, the icon of that K of that day. I mean, your dad brought a bunch of jerseys as well so that people would have something to wear for Kerry Wood.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. I talked to him later on, well after the fact, when I was more sentient and understood what happened that day. When my dad knew that he was bringing the K's out for that day, he dug through the Lost and Found at Stevenson High School, where he coached baseball and football, and found some 34 jerseys. I think most of them were basketball jerseys, if not all of them. So I know you had Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, and gosh, there's probably one more that I'm missing. But yeah, everybody, you know, you see the pictures of the K's out in the bleachers, you see a 34 Lakers jersey. And my dad's whole thought was, you know, you look at 34 throughout sports history, and there are a lot of phenomenal 34s throughout every sport. And my dad's idea was that Kerry was going to be the next great 34. So that's why he had people wearing these jerseys out there. And it's a kind of funny little footnote in the history of that day.
And the funny thing that I laugh about too is that I can't remember how many K-signs he brought. I think it was like 15.
It was 16. It was 16. And I'll actually, you give me a second to correct myself. When I was on the broadcast with Taylor McGregor for the 25th anniversary, I told her that there were only 16 ever made. I found out after the fact from our friend Brad Hofvander and my aunt confirmed it, that my dad did end up making 4 extras just in case a Cubs pitcher came out and threw 20 strikeouts again. But on May 6, 1998, my dad only had 16, so the last 4 infamously were body paint out in the bleachers on a rainy, cold May day, as all Chicagoans are well familiar with.
So for those that don't know, your dad, Tom, was my PE teacher at MacArthur Middle School. And I guess like some of my earliest memories, you know, is that he would be so pumped up around game time, because they only, back then when I was in middle school, like they had just gotten lights. It was like 88 when they got lights in August. So really none of there. So it's 89 really. That you know, I'm in middle school, and you know, most of the games were 120. And I mean, my God, he was pumped up and just roaming the halls like a man. He would get so fired up and just be so pumped up about it. And so he just kind of had this infectious energy that made other Cub fans pumped up about it. And you know, as we have gotten to all these milestones, like the Kerry Wood, you know, the 25 years and all that stuff, you know, it's amazing that they found all this footage. And I've seen it in the Marquee documentary. I've seen it in other different forms of them actually seeing your dad. And I don't know if it was like cut or something, but like seeing him, pointing him out, spotlighting him as he's handing out things. Where did he get? Did he bring body paint? How did those last how did those last 4 get on there? I mean, it's just such an interesting part of it.
Yeah, so my dad was a very outspoken guy, not afraid to talk to anybody. And that was one of the things that made it so fun to go to Cubs games with him in the bleachers. But on that particular day, he just sought out someone with body paint. And it's weird that, like, I feel like that's not really a thing nowadays. But I do kind of remember growing up, there were a lot more guys with no tarps on out in the left field bleachers growing up when I got to go out with my dad. But that particular day, yeah. He found somebody and someone happened to have red and blue body paint. So that's how, I don't know, like if they just use their fingers to spread it on the top. I've never thought about that detail because they definitely didn't have paintbrushes. I don't know how they did it, but yeah. So he just, you know, my dad was a very personable guy and could connect with anybody. So he just probably, he was orchestrating the whole event. As you mentioned, Crawley, they found great footage of my dad, like kind of walking through the bleachers. And that was a cool thing with the K-signs that I got to experience from that point on. Him kind of, he didn't want to be the one to hold the K-signs. He wanted other people to be able to experience it. That was the big thing for him, being kind of the patron of the K's, I guess, if you know, for lack of a better term. So yeah, he just used his personality to go out there and find body paint. And lo and behold, he found some for the last 4 strikeouts.
And then the cool thing afterwards is I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but we had a principal, Mr. Ehrenstein, and your dad took a sick day on the day that Kerry Wood is
through. Yes, I am well aware.
So yeah. he takes the sick day, and everyone's kind of trying to figure out who's the guy with the K's. Well, you know, your dad gets interviewed by Sports Illustrated.
Sure, he was mentioned by name in Sports Illustrated. Yeah, it might have been the first paragraph that he was quoted.
and sure enough, the principal calls him down to the office, and he gets in trouble for playing hooky so that he could go see Kerry Wood's 20 Ks. But you know, Jake, I mean, all Cub fans know, man, when you catch magic at a game. And I think that was what was on the documentary poster. It says, you know, Pat Hughes had a quote from that documentary, like, you don't know on any given day. That's the thing about baseball. You may just kind of step into magic. And for your dad, it just kind of like it morphed into the K for Kids program. And that was really interesting in and of itself as well.
Yeah. So the K for Kids was an idea that my dad had when he was still with us. For those listening that don't No, my dad passed away in August of 2007. But Case for Kids was an idea that he had. The idea essentially was kind of, my dad believed that baseball could be a kind of like a steward for kids that were kind of aimless. He thought that baseball and the stars in Major League Baseball could kind of present like a focal point for young kids to follow, you know, idolize in a sense, right? So he wanted Case for Kids to be something that a charity to raise money to bring, you know, underprivileged kids in the Illinois, anywhere in Illinois. And I'm sure he had ideas to expand it beyond just the Chicago Cubs. But he wanted to find a way to bring kids who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to go to a Major League Baseball game to go to Wrigley and experience the magic that is Wrigley Field and, you know, maybe fall in love with a player that day. Unfortunately, like I said, it didn't get up off the ground until about a year after he passed away. And I think I already mentioned our friend Brad Hofvander was the president of Case for Kids, a good friend of my dad's. He helped launch it along with my aunt and my dad's best friend from high school, Paul Harada. So the three of them and my cousin Matt was the vice president of the charity, launched it in 2008. I think we ended up doing, oh my gosh, probably, I think we did like 4 years maybe of outings. And each year was one outing. But one year, I want to say it was like 2010, Ryan Dempster sponsored an outing. So I wasn't able to make it for one reason or another. I can't remember. But Ryan Dempster took pictures with the kids in the grandstands. And that's what my dad wanted, was to get Cubs players involved. So, hey, if any of you Cubs players are listening to the podcast right now, we'd love to get it back up off the ground. Brad and I have been in talks about it. But yeah, Case for Kids was really just about getting kids exposed to the game of baseball. And not just the magic of Wrigley Field, but as you talked about, Crowley Pat's quote, I mean, any given day, like we saw last night in the no-hitter against the Pirates. It feels like every game you watch, something that's never happened in baseball history before could happen that night or that 120 start. And that's why we love the game, right? So that's what my dad tried to start with Case for Kids. And it's something that we've kind of gotten the works to get back up off the ground again here soon.
You know, one thing that always makes me laugh too is that I remember the scorecards, the K scorecards. And yes, my wife calls me a Cubs hoarder, because if something says Cubs on it, I will not throw it out. Even if it's been like 25 years later, like I still have some of those. They used to be the case signs. They're smaller, but they have the score. You could keep score on the back of it when keeping score was a thing. And I guess that, you know, with this weekend coming up, I'm just getting nostalgic a little bit, thinking about, you know, how much fun all of that was. And just kind of, you know, things change, man. Life moves on. Yeah. And you got Jumbotrons and you got the park at Gallagher Way. And there's so many cool things that really are, you know, amenities that are necessary, you would argue, with modern day ballparks. But just thinking about 1998, thinking about your dad, thinking about the K signs, it takes me back to a simpler time when baseball was just a little bit different. And, and the atmosphere in the bleachers, I remember it as crystal clear. And, you know, when you think about Kerry going into the Hall of Fame, I mean, that's got to just be, you know, just that connection that you guys will always share, that bond, has just got to be so special for you to know that he's going to be going into the Cubs Hall of Fame.
It's really cool, man. I mean, it's kind of tough to put into words. I still haven't met Kerry. I think that at this point, it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like a funny thing, because people expect that I've met him a bunch of times. And at this point in the game, it's kind of like, oh no, it's kind of, maybe there's something kind of cool about the fact that I haven't met him yet. And there's this kind of mythology still to it. Right now, if I were ever given the opportunity to meet Kerry, he's a guy like you and me. He's a guy. He's happened to be really good at throwing a baseball. Right. And like I said earlier on, he pitched by statistically the greatest game ever pitched.
Bill James game score.
Yes, Bill James game score. Exactly. I think the cool thing is, you know, people still recognize the K. When I bring the signs out to Wrigley, or if I'm in the Chicagoland area, because I live in Wisconsin now, but if I'm in the Chicagoland area and I'm wearing a K shirt, I'll get side glances, or people will recognize it. I've got the K tattooed on my right shoulder, and I love showing that off too. But I've just been, you know, there's a sense of gratitude that I have to my dad for as wild as the whole notion was, that he did it, right? That he went through with it. And for whatever reason on that given day, whether divine intervention or whatever you believe in, he took the signs out that day and for the first time. And it happened to make Major League Baseball history. So now it feels like every time I see, you know, a hype video at the beginning of a season, the K's are shown along with Carey's performance. And to be synonymous with that and to be affiliated with that in a way that I wasn't even consciously involved is an honor. And to be able to continue to be the steward of my dad's idea and do whatever I can to help, you know, preach the love of our beautiful game is the best honor I could have as a Cubs fan, as a baseball fan. So now that Carey's being inducted, it also, you know, kind of simultaneously enshrines the K signs into the Cubs Hall of Fame in perpetuity. Let's not distract ourselves from the main point. Carey is the reason that all of this has happened. He was a phenomenal talent. And by all means, a steward of the Chicago Cubs to this day, living in the Chicagoland area, you know, being involved in Cubs charity work, the stadium at Lane Tech being in his charity name. Is that right? It's Lane Tech, right?
Yeah. I believe you're right.
So everything that Carey has done is kind of in lockstep with what I think my dad would have done if he had been in Carey's shoes. So I'm not saying that Carey used my dad as an example or anything, but I think that my dad would be very proud in kind of an abstract way of all the work that Carey has done for the Cubs in the game of baseball in Chicago. So to be a part of that is, like I've said for the third time now, an honor. And I'm grateful to be a small part of it and continue to carry my dad's legacy forward.
And when you talk about what your dad's goal was, the interesting thing is I went to the Carey Wood Foundation. They had the pitch in program, and it's exactly what you were talking about, helping underprivileged youth. So that connection still stays there. You mentioned the K shirt. Our listeners, if they want, they can buy the K shirt, which that's your design, your dad's design that you guys are using and selling shirts, right? Where can someone go to pick those up?
Yes, Crawley, thank you for plugging that. So right now you can go to jbanowski.com/shop, and that is jbujnowski.com/shop. And I actually haven't announced this anywhere yet, but I feel like this is a great time to announce it. I will be launching a full brand based, I'm a graphic designer professionally, which I think kind of was influenced by my dad and the K-sign. I will be launching a Cubs-centric brand called Broken Bat Supply Company. So if you're on Cubs Twitter, I will be announcing it there when we're still going through some trademark registration and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you follow me at @baseball_booge, I will be announcing when that goes live, and there will be more Cubs-related shirts and K-related shirts there. But I do have the original K shirts, and then I have reproductions. I took high-resolution photos of two of the original K-signs, one red and one blue, and have those available on white T-shirts as well. So thank you for plugging that. So whatever we can do to just keep the K alive. And eventually, like I said, I'd love to get K's for Kids back up off the ground and have some of the money from Broken Bat Supply Company go into that, or the Wood Family Foundation, or Jason Hayward's Academy. I'd love to get it tied into Cubs charity, something to give back to baseball in the Chicagoland area. So if anybody's listening has an idea, please reach out. We want to make sure that we're giving back to the people that that my dad wanted the cause to go to, and kids learning to play the game of baseball.
And to follow you, you are @baseball_booge, B-U-J. And you also have a podcast, the Dingers Podcast, where you kind of talk about all your Cubs ruminations and all sorts of things that I think a lot of our listeners would like. Jake, I appreciate you. I know you're having a busy day today and taking a couple of minutes, but I couldn't think of anyone else better to have on with Carey Wood going to the Cubs Hall of Fame.
Crawley, thanks for tapping me in, man. It's a pleasure to be on Fly the W. Hey, let's see if we can get the Cubs some wins down the stretch here. There's still, hey, it's not 0% chance at playoff odds yet, right? So as long as you say there's a chance, I'm in. I am in. But in the meantime, too, I'm looking forward to Sundays in Chicago as well. For anybody listening, I'm pointing my Bears hat. Thank you, Crawley. I appreciate this, man, and love what you do for the Cubs community.
I appreciate you, brother. You take care.